evaluate the sustainability of an approach to train lay health workers. In this instance, we focused on licensed cosmetologists in the state of North Carolina. You will hear many similarities to the project that you just heard. This project was, again, we had similar PIs, Dr. Laura Linnan, and we have a multidisciplinary, multi-institutional team. Dr. Linnan at UNC, Veronica Carlisle, Morris Boswell, and Joyce Thomas, directors of cosmetology at the various community colleges, and then April McCoy worked diligently with us both at UNC and at my institution, North Carolina Central University, to make sure that we were able to bring this information to you. Hoping that by the end of the session, you'll be able to determine whether or not you think this is a good idea. So why beauty salons for promoting health? Well, first of all, in our beautiful state of North Carolina, we have over 20,000 licensed cosmetologists. Beauty salons are located in all communities. Based on research by Dr. Linnan et al. And team, the average cosmetologist sees about 47 clients per week and spends 30 to 60 minutes per appointment. There's a lot of talking going on in beauty salons, as my previous presenter talked about the barbershop. There's a lot more talking going on in the beauty salon. And Dr. Linnan's early team found that licensed cosmetologists have a unique role. People listen to them. They're trusted. They're sought after for their advice. And it's one of the only professions that allow you to touch the client as you are working with them. So based on years of work that Dr. Linnan and her team did, working with the Beauty Advisory Board, conducting surveys, observations in 10 salons, and pilot intervention studies, we wanted to know, okay, so now the project is over, now what? Okay? So because the North Carolina Beauty and Health Project demonstrated that licensed cosmetologists are able to deliver health promotion messages to their clients. But then the next step for all of us is, how do we sustain this once the funding leaves? So there was no doubt that the Beauty Project reached many salons, but we were faced with the question of how to continue once the funding had ceased, how to sustain the project. Can we reach stylists beyond the original well-funded Beauty Project? So our first thought was to go to the beauty schools and integrate this information, health promotion messages, into the beauty school curriculum. We also thought this was a great idea because we said, well, these are where the young stylists are being trained. So if this is where they are, this is where we need to be. So through a formative research process, we conducted classroom observations. We looked at curriculum. We conducted structured interviews. And I'll tell you about what we found as a result of that, which led us to change our direction to phase two, conducting focus groups, and then three, the intervention that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. So as I said before, we thought that going to the beauty schools was a great idea. And we thought that, you know, all we had to do was just kind of show up and say, okay, we're here from the University of North Carolina, North Carolina Chapel Hill, North Carolina Central University, and you should put this in your curriculum. They did not agree. Beauty school directors were lukewarm at best about disseminating anything additional in their curriculum. None of the beauty school directors, none of the instructors supported any additions or revisions to their program due to the strict demands of the curriculum, the state licensing requirements, and their perceived lack of expertise on the subject. So as a result of this phase one intervention, we went in a new direction based on their comments. They, in fact, they told us that we, if we had promoted this idea of changing their curriculum, they would have fought us vehemently. However, they did, as I said, suggest that we go in the direction of providing continuing education accrediting hours for licensed cosmetologists. Was that a good idea? We went to phase two, focus groups. So based on this information that we gathered from phase one, we conducted focus groups with 23 participants, including licensed stylists, owners, and instructors. We held a pilot workshop with 7 participants, and also based on the work of John Rose, the UNC Chapel Hill, we were able to ask salon owners if they thought the continuing education credit hours were a good idea. We began to see positive results, and here you'll see some comments based on our qualitative data collection that told us that they really liked the idea of being exposed to this information in a workshop setting. It's like, it makes this become a profession to me. Beauty and health go hand in hand because if they're not healthy, it comes out in their hair, skin, and nails. We connect with our customers on a level that by us making them feel important and talking to them about what's going on in their lives and learning from them, we can make them feel better. We had lots of conversation and feedback in that vein. This is probably the most rewarding part of our business, not just getting the money in your hand or having fun at doing what you do, but having a connection with them. And I think that plays a bigger role than we all give it credit. And in fact, some of the stylists told us that they were the first, even before doctors, before nurses, before anyone, they were the first to be able to detect whether something was going on with their customer by the change in their hair, by the change in their nails, the color of their skin. They often were able to see things that in a routine examination, a physician might miss. One of the cosmetologists doing the focus group told us, it just given me a chance to be part of something that is greater than hair. Therefore, we went forward with the We Do More Than Just Hair workshop for licensed cosmetologists. And all of the themes that you saw earlier in the focus groups were incorporated in this workshop. So we piloted, we had great results. So our next step was then to go to the State Board of Licensed Cosmetologists because the cosmetologists were telling us that it was a great idea. The instructors, the beauty school directors were saying this is a required mandate now that cosmetologists have to get hours in order to keep their license. So we said, okay, we're great. We'll go to the State Board. So we submitted an application, and based on that, we then went through the rest of phase three in terms of recruiting, materials development, pre-post test, and 3-month follow-up. Well, I'll give you a little sample of that data in a second. But I have to tell you about this application process because, as I said before, everybody was telling us this was a good idea, and we submitted our application, and we assumed that because we'd done all of this fabulous formative work, and we collected all this great data, and we documented everything, we'd even presented at an NIH conference, that we were set, and we knew that we were talking about, and in fact, we knew that our application package was probably more, because we had 2, PhDs, people with doctors working on it, we submitted it, gave a very thick application, and guess what? They turned us down. And not only did they turn us down once, they turned us down twice. The primary reason that they denied it, they said that it was too technical, that we were trying to train licensed cosmetologists to be doctors, to be nurses, to be healthcare workers. They were not. What were they? They do hair, right? They do hair, they do nail, well, they do hair, they work on you, they make you beautiful, but they don't talk about health. And so Dr. Lene and I remember standing before the State Board of Licensed Examiners, and they were telling us this, and they were saying, well, the licensed cosmetologists aren't trained to do this. We don't want them going beyond what they have been trained to do. So we felt that this was clearly not what we were hearing from the cosmetologists. Although this was their licensing board, that was using us. It's not what the cosmetologists were telling us. So we went back, not once but twice. And the third time that we went back, we finally said, okay, we need some assistance from the licensed cosmetologists from the state of North Carolina. And they wrote and they called, and not only that, we had support from the advisory board. And finally, that third time, we were approved, but not without some conditions. The conditions were that 50% of our program had to be focused on beauty-related topics. Okay, so we are public health people, and we're going to now talk about how to keep your hair well, how to do your nails, how to keep your skin nice and shiny. Okay, how do we recruit based on that information? How do we get people into a continuing education program? We develop flyers. We use the website that's listed with the State Board of Cosmetology. We have referrals from our previous participants. But the other key piece that I want to share with you is that they had to pay us to come to the workshop, which is, you know, it's all part of this continuing education program. So not only were they coming to the workshop, but they paid $65 to participate in the workshop, and they got eight continuing credit hours. So my time is going back. So we develop a curriculum, a training manual, a recruitment video that is developed by the previous project, display boards, and demonstrations. So let me just run through those few minutes. Our role as beauty advisors, this is Dr. Lanan, and we're talking about being beauty advisors, but we also had to talk about skin, and this is where our colleagues at the community college came in to play. This is the director of one of the community colleges of the cosmetology program, Mr. Boswell, talking about how skin is nourished. Here are some of the displays that we use to illustrate many of the concepts that we talked about earlier. The cosmetologists were very engaged, very involved. We had lots of hands-on demonstrations where they assessed themselves, assessed their nails. We also had some hair assessment people. We always integrated health promotion information. It's Mr. Boswell, again, giving a demonstration on one of the participants about how he can tell the condition of her hair. And again, you'll see the messages in the back, Walk of Beauty and Health. So our 43 participants in the workshop had a mean age of 37. We only 41 women offered us information about their age. Who knows why? Okay. The mean number of years licensed, 8.2. We had a number of young stylists who were just beginning, as well as the stylists who had been practicing for 26 years and were very, by the way, resentful of this continuing education credit requirement. But we can talk about that in another session. Interestingly, 79% of our participants were African American, 16% were Caucasians, 2 did not identify, and all of the participants were women. We collected some baseline information on what they thought about some of the things that we were interested in, and we, as you can see, that most of the day engaged in some level of physical activity. That they, we collected information about how much they were eating, whether they had some kind of screening test, whether they themselves had personally been affected by cancer, and whether they talked to their customers, not just about what a beautiful day it was, but about some health issues. We talked about intentions. Do you intend to become more active in terms of our pre-test and post-test? And here, again, the numbers are fairly descriptive, but as you can see, the numbers are moving in the direction that we want to. Pre-test, people were somewhat interested in becoming more active, but clearly after our demonstration, after we told them the strong link, and we talked about the strong link between skin health, skin, hair, and nails, and these health promotion messages, they were clearly convinced. Here we did an assessment of knowledge. Did they know what foods to eat to control their weight, which screening tests to get, and whether or not to assess hair condition. Again, we were testing for all of those variables that we had included in our curriculum, and again, movement in the right direction. direction, and then comfort level, which is self-efficacy. It was this critical issue that the state board was concerned about, whether or not the licensed cosmetologist would be able to talk to their clients and would be comfortable talking about all of these issues. And again, the numbers are moving in the right direction pre-post-test. And then in our three-month follow-up, which is where we are now, since the workshop, I have become more physically active. All of the participants said that as a result of the workshop, they were more physically active. They're eating more fruits and vegetables. Several had been screened already as post-workshop. They all had, or almost all, had the intention to decrease weight. They were all working on the weight, on their weight. In fact, I had one very proud person tell me how much weight she lost, and we applauded each other and cried on the phone. It was great. Since the workshop, I've talked to my customers about healthy eating. They did not talk about HIV, AIDS, and pregnancy, and this is the key point that I want to leave with. There are many things that they want to talk about that they are interested in, and that we as public health professionals can be out there and offering through other continuing education opportunities and in other areas. Obviously, HIV, AIDS, and pregnancy, childbirth were things that come up in the shop all the time, but because they had not received training, they didn't feel that we're informed about it. Even though I asked the question, they said that they were not doing that, as stress is a common topic in everyone's lives. So, the limitations, the perceptions about the aim of the course from the state board, that no, we're not trying to train lay health people to be doctors, physicians. We're not trying to train them to be certified nurses or anything like that, but that we really are aware that they have a unique and wonderful role in the community, and they offer many, many opportunities for disseminating health information. So I've been asked to stop. If you have questions, please do not hesitate to let me know. And lastly, thanks to all of our participants, who are just a wonderful group of women.